This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. Slate's Political Gabfest is returning to West Lafayette. Emily Bazelon, John Dickerson, and David Plotz are the three who regularly talk about recent happenings in the world of politics and government. Joining me on the phone is Slate editor David Plotz to talk about the podcast and the return visit to Purdue. Hi, David.
Hi, Mike.
Now, you came about a year ago, and I'm guessing wildly popular to be bringing it back.
We had a wonderful time. We did a show at University Church at Purdue last April, I think it was, and it was a great crowd. We're going to be back to talk about the presidential election, to talk about President Obama, to talk about whatever particularly hot political issue jumps up at us. We love being in a university setting.
Flashback to a year ago, Governor Mitch Daniels was still being talked about as a presidential candidate.
Governor Daniels is somebody who I admire quite a lot and have talked about how I wish I'd seen him in the Republican field. Obviously chose not to run. A lot of people made that decision not to run. Governor Chris Christie. There are people who perhaps dropped out early. Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, I think, maybe now regrets that he dropped out so quickly from that race. And now it seems it's obvious that Mitt Romney will be the Republican nominee. And what's going to be fascinating, and this is the subject that we're going to talk about, is the turn to the general election. So you've had a very strange primary season with a front runner who a lot of people weren't very enthusiastic about, with a bunch of different conservative darlings emerging, with a lot of turbulence in that race, and now we're turning to the general election, and it's going to be a very, very different kind of race starting basically this week. And John and Emily and I are going to talk about what the nature of those changes will be.
A lot of us here in Indiana were hoping Rick Santorum would stick with it a little bit past our May 8th primary so we could have more of a role in the process. But we still have an interesting Republican primary for the U.S. Senate here, longtime Senator Richard Lugar facing some Tea Party-backed opposition in the state treasurer. Is that anything that's playing there in Washington?
It is, and I don't know that we'll talk about it, but we might well talk about that race because it is a fascinating race. I mean, Senator Lugar, obviously a Republican icon, a conservative icon, a much admired senator, certainly in the Washington world, and I think at home he's been much admired. But he represents a kind of conservatism, which is conservatism of 25 years ago. And there is this new and dynamic and very aggressive conservative movement that's arisen, and it has challenged the old heroes and the old stanchions of traditional Republican leadership. And if Senator Lugar goes down, I think it does signify that the Republican Party has made a major, major shift, and that it will be a very chaotic, it's not the right word, but it will be a very aggressive and unruly and excited Republican Senate if people like Senator Lugar aren't around anymore.
It's almost revolutionary. But what I find fascinating is that here among the very diehard Republicans, you know, that are going to really make noise during the primary, Lugar is almost being penalized for being bipartisan.
Yes. Well, that's the strange thing that's happened among Republican primary voters. And I think to a much, much lesser extent among Democratic primary voters is the sense that bipartisanship has failed. And among Democrats, I think there's a sense bipartisanship has failed because Republicans refuse to play. And the Republicans in the House and Senate during President Obama's term have basically been nihilists. I think that's the Democratic view. The Republican view is, why should we be bipartisan? Because our opponents, the Democrats and President Obama, represent ideas that are anathema to us, and so we have to be idealistic and hold on to freedom and protect ourselves from big government, protect ourselves from tax hikes, and we cannot possibly work with these folks on the left who will destroy America if we give them a chance. And so that's a different form of anti-bipartisanship. But in both cases, there's a sense that the other side is impossible to work with. And frankly, as a citizen, it's absolutely demoralizing to think that we have a political process which is essentially intractable at the moment and is paralyzed. And Senator Lugar represents somebody who is opposed to that intractability, who likes motion, who believes that that you can work together with your political opponents. And if he loses, I think the political division and paralysis that we see in Washington will increase that much more.
The two had their one and only debate recently, and I think everybody said it was basically a wash, so it seems like he is safe. Getting back to the podcast, for those who don't know about the Political Gabfest, talk about this live appearance. You're welcoming an audience, right?
Slate Political Gabfest is about a six-year-old podcast that I do with my colleagues, Slate senior editor Emily Bazelon and John Dickerson, who's at Slate and also the political director of CBS News, and Slate magazine of 11 million readers, politically active, aware readers, and we do a weekly podcast where we talk about politics. And I think what distinguishes us from perhaps political shows that some of your audience may listen to is the tone of the Gabfest is this is how journalists talk in the bar after the show. So it's very much a conversation. There's very little of sort of blowhard punditry. It's sort of a conversation among friends, comrades who are tweaking each other, who are making fun of each other, who are playing with ideas, who are experimenting, and also who we have a deep interaction with our audience. And so when we do the live shows, and the folks in your audience who came to the show last year will know this, we have a long Q&A. It's very much a conversation with the audience when we do live shows. We usually do a live show about every 2 months or so. It's a great venue for learning about what's going on in politics, for getting a sense for folks in Indiana, about a sense about how some folks in Washington are thinking about it and what the conversation is in Washington and our view of it. And it's a great way for us to have a dialogue about how things seem where you are versus how things seem where I am.
There is a difference between Indiana and the Beltway, as they say, right?
Yes. There is. I could enumerate those differences, but we would go on for like 17 hours.
That's more than a podcast. So in addition to that opportunity, you're also going to have small group time, I guess, with some Purdue students.
Yes, I'll be meeting with some students in the communications department, also meeting with students at the newspaper. And I think we're going to have a happy hour before the show as well for those people who are over 21, at least, to come tipple with us. I should point out the show, which is at 6 o'clock at University Church on Wednesday. It's free. And at worst, you'll lose an hour of your life. and at best, you'll have a joyful experience.
And people can register for the free tickets at slate.com/Indiana. We'll also have a link on our website, wbaa.org. Again, the Political Gab Fest, Wednesday evening at 6 at University Church. David Plotz is the editor of Slate. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lewitzo.